WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. Israel bombs Iran. I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Israeli military says that in response to months of continuous attacks from Iran and the militant groups it backs, Israel's carrying out precise strikes on military targets in Iran, it says. ABC's Martha Raddatz and what we know so far.
This could go on for several hours. They have said quite clearly they are making precision strikes against military targets. There are, of course, numerous military targets.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge in Tel Aviv.
Energy and oil sites, Iranian oil and energy sites, are not in amongst the targets. So, you know, what is looking like the case right now, according to all the sources we're hearing from, is that Israel has listened to that demand from the U.S. The U.S. clearly was pressing Israel not to go after Iran's nuclear and oil sites.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge. This is ABC News. Los Angeles police and traffic control working to keep cars moving tonight as the Dodgers host the Yankees in the World Series.
It's kind of jokingly being called Carmageddon. Tonight there is the World Series at Dodgers Stadium. The Lakers play nearby at Crypto.com Arena. Down the road, the USC Trojans play at the LA Memorial Coliseum in a Friday night college football game. There's a concert at the new Intuit Dome and the East LA Classic High School football matchup at SoFi Stadium all at the same time. Mayor Karen Bass is activating the city's emergency operations center, and she's urging Angelenos to take public transit, something many here just don't do. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Federal Cybersecurity Chief Jen Easterly tells ABC News updating the software on your devices helps guard against hackers.
Don't ignore it, because what it means is that update is being delivered to help protect you from some sort of vulnerabilities.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It is the first weekend of early in-person voting. If you plan on early voting, make sure to bring an official form of photo ID, like your driver's license. Earlier this week, the Wisconsin Election Commission reported that municipal clerks were having issues with label printing delays, but that issue has been resolved. Dough at a Wisconsin pizza place was tainted with THC. Public Health Madison Dane County staff say Famous Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton served pizza from Monday through Thursday with dough that was contaminated. Multiple people had to be taken to the hospital with symptoms like dizziness, increased heart rate, and vomiting. Famous Yeti shares an industrial kitchen with other businesses where they make food and other products. This makes it possible that it's an unfortunate and bizarre case of cross-contamination. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks and the Bulls tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Chicago Bulls tonight in their home opener at Fiserv Forum. New to the Bucks lineup is forward Taurean Prince, who shot 6-for-6 and 16 points Wednesday against the 76ers. Doc Rivers.
You know, it's funny. Started out slow when he came back in, because the first game, you just never know how guys are going to handle that. When he came back in, he was locked in. Just great.
College football. Wisconsin has won 3 in a row, but tomorrow night they face Penn State at Camp Randall Stadium. Game time at 6:30 at 6-0. the Nittany Lions are undefeated, ranked third in the nation. NFL, the Packers will be at nearly full strength when they face the 2-5 Jaguars in Jacksonville Sunday. Rookie Evan Williams on what it took to secure a starting job at safety.
A lot of it's watching tape, you know, just being self-critical every time you look, you know, at your own film, trying not to just look at the highlights. You got to look at the bad plays too and face them and just try to improve.
That's Packers safety Evan Williams. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight, lows low 30s. Sunshine for the weekend, highs in the upper 50s on Saturday. For Sunday, low 60s. Low 70s and breezy Monday. Staying in the 70s Tuesday, a chance of showers Tuesday night into Wednesday of next week. Currently 49 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap the events of the weekend. I'm sure nothing will have happened. And we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
Courtney Cuff, Henny Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Ha ho, hey, Kargi. Welcome all of our friends and relatives in Four Directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. We discuss local and national Native news, stories, and events. I want to shout out to the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition for supporting this portion of the show. Hey, it's producer Haley Cherry with you, kicking off today's Fun Friday episode. I want to say a big Pina Geeky thank you for tuning in, whether this is your first time listening to Native Roots Radio or your 100th episode. We appreciate your support on our program. And yeah, I want to introduce myself in a good way. Again, I'm producer Haley Cherry, starting the show for Robert Pilot, who is our host, my uncle, my Dega. I am a descendant of Ho-Chunk Nation in Wisconsin and Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska. I come from the Eagle Clan, Chashup Clan, Ho-Chunk Rajuku, Chashup Hewangawaynik. My Ho-Chunk name is Little Eagle Princess. And yeah, we have a show for you guys today. Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish will be stopping by for her weekly update. We've got two segments from her. We also have two segments from Wendy Pilot, Robert's wife, my lovely Aunt Wendy. And she is our humane policy leader with the Humane Society of the United States. And she's got a couple sacred animal fun Fact Friday segments for us today. I want to shout out, we were able to talk with a couple artists that are doing a free show up in Bemidji, Minnesota tomorrow, Saturday, October 26th. This will be at the Sanford Center Ballroom in Bemidji, Minnesota from 11 to 5 p.m. on Saturday. It is free admission. There will be lunch provided. There's going to be breakout sessions and more just promoting the Native vote. There's going to be resource booths as well, live music from Maria Izza, Corey Medina, and Natani Means. And I was listening to a few of their songs yesterday. You can find them on wherever you get your music, Apple, Spotify. Just look them up. And yeah, if you want to hear a recording of that episode, we were able to talk to them this past Monday. So if you go on podcast streaming platforms and just type in Native Roots Radio, you should be able to find a huge archive of all of our past shows. But want to get started here with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish, who has been on Native Roots Radio for, wow, I think really the past 8 years, so 8 seasons. We love Mary and all that she does for our community here in Minnesota. So here is Mary Kunish.
Hamitakiape, Ampetukineshantewashte. Good afternoon, everybody. This is State Senator Mary Kunish. It's October 24th, 2024. And here we are, almost to the end of October. and very much nearing the beginning of Indigenous Peoples Month, which always surprises me with the number of activities across the state that are celebrations and recognitions and acknowledgments and just a real wonderful month of Indigenous activity, I guess you could call it. I do want to talk a little bit today about the apology from our President Joe Biden around boarding schools. But before we do that, I thought I would talk a little bit about the efforts that we have been working, well, almost my entire legislative career, to get an equal rights statement in our state constitution. And it's not an easy task because we can't just pass a bill or move some legislation and add that statement of equality into our constitution. It has to go to the voters. And so, for example, if we had been able to pass the legislation to bring it to the voters, it could have been on this year's ballot, but as it turns out, we're hoping that there will be an equal rights question or statement on the 2026 ballot in order to get the consensus of our state. And a lot of people are, you know, wondering about this ERA and how the process has been going. I can tell you when I was in the House, I did pass a piece of legislation that changed the original language from, you know, based on sex to based on gender. And that was not an easy, an easy task because our Republican counterparts did not like that word gender. They asked me why did I change it from, you know, we cannot discriminate based on sex. Why did I change it to gender? And I told them that I thought it was more inclusive, and that really gave them heart palpitations, and they felt that that was too inclusive. And so we did get a few Republicans to vote on that equal rights amendment back in, I think it was 2019, but it did not get through the Senate that year. So that meant that the constitutional question would not be placed on the next ballot. Fast forward to when I was in the Senate, and I passed another version of the Equal Rights Amendment off the Senate floor. But unfortunately, the House was not quite ready to do it. They wanted to do some more work. And so we've been working on the Equal Rights Statement as best we can. And just a really great coalition of folks have really put a lot of time and energy into creating an Equal Rights Statement that is truly inclusive. The statement would read, the state shall not discriminate against a person's national origin, race, color, disability, ancestry, sex, pregnancy decisions, gender identity or expression, or sexual orientation. And I do want to thank the coalitions and the groups that have been out there, especially Gender Justice, who have been working so hard to create one of the most inclusive and intersectional equal rights amendments in the nation. It really does provide robust protections to people of color, especially. It was important that we include individuals with disability and those with identities that really intersect around multiple categories. And people will say, you know, why do you need to list those out? And where are all the rest of them? All the rest of the different groups, like why isn't religion in there or something else, ageism in there? A lot of those are already have protections in our in our state government. And so this statement really is going to create that foundation that we hope is going to really last for generation. It's been really positive across Minnesota. The polls that have been taken show that Minnesotans really do support this amendment. And with the rising influence of those that would like to suppress people of that are multiracial, multigenerational, things like that, it's important that we go forward with this Equal Rights Amendment. And I really think it's so important that we do everything we can to defend our rights and to ensure that Minnesota remains a really shining example of equality and justice for all. And so we'll continue to work on this in the next session, but I just wanted to let you all know about this good work that we've been doing over the last couple of years. And really, again, want to thank so many of those people out there that are doing the work to ensure equality across Minnesota. So I think we're going to take a break, and I will be right back.
Thanks, Mary. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. Please stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This November, we have a clear choice for who's truly fighting for our Indigenous communities in Minnesota. Democrats created the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force, made college tuition free for Native scholars, and legally affirmed our Native sovereignty. By signing co-stewardship agreements to manage federal lands, we return the lands of the Upper Sioux State Park to the Upper Sioux Tribe and over 11,000 acres back to the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwa. This November, vote for the party that stands with our community. Vote Democrat.
Paid for by the Minnesota Democrat Farmer Labor Party.
For everything you need to know about voting in Minnesota, visit the Secretary of State's website at mnvotes.org. Find out where to vote, check registration status, and view sample ballots. Again, for all your voting information, go to mnvotes.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake. We're back now with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish as she wraps up her weekly update.
Hi, well, I'm back. Senator Mary Kunish here. And I think I'd like to just talk about something that's probably on the top of all of our conversation today, and that is the formal apology by President Biden for the U.S.'s government role in the removal of thousands of American Indian kids and forcing them into boarding schools over a 150-year period. Can you even imagine what it was like? And maybe many of us can, because I'm sure there's hardly a one of us out there that doesn't have somebody very close to us still, or a relative or an ancestor, a grandpa, a grandma, an aunt, who attended Indian boarding schools in their lifetime, and the trauma that it caused them, as the intention of stripping our Native kids, our Native communities, our Native people of their language and their culture in a very systematic way of forced assimilation into white society. And so President Biden's apology, this is the first time that a U.S. president has ever really acknowledged or apologized for the horrible, traumatic suffering of tens of thousands of our Native kids. Most of them were forced to attend those boarding schools, and this was a generational thing. It wasn't just one generation or for 20 years here or there. As I said, this was over 150 years of forced removal from their families. And some of those families never saw their kids again. It all kind of stemmed and began back in 1819. And do you know that it lasted right up to 1969? And unfortunately, it wasn't just the U.S. government that had their hand in it, but the government also paid churches and religious groups to run more than 400 of these federal Indian boarding schools, and that was spread across 37 states. You know, as I said, every one of us has a story to tell around this, and it could be multiple generations, multiple family members. But I remember hearing the stories growing up about my Uncle Collie, who was terribly affected by boarding schools. My grandfather's family lived out on the Standing Rock Nation, and his brothers were sent to Carlisle in Pennsylvania. They were called industrial schools because they were meant to teach these kids to be industrial. The girls learned to cook and clean and sew, and the boys were taught agriculture and different forms of menial work that they would be able to do once they left the boarding school. But my grandfather's brother, Collie, Calvin Kelly, was out there. And one thing Carlisle did is that they kept really good records. So if you have ancestors that attended Carlisle, you can go on their website and access a lot of the records. And we found a lot of records about our Uncle Collie. One of them was really interesting. It was a card, a school reporting card. And on that card is listed a number of entries where it says running. And we assume that's those were the times that my Uncle Collie ran away or attempted to run away and get back to Indian country. But it honestly wasn't until he ran away, and as the jumping trains to get west, he fell off and had a leg cut off. And after that, he was allowed back to go back to his home. And of course, the trauma that ensued after that, we can only imagine. And it was there that he met his future wife, Josephine Kelly, and many other of those kids that eventually did make it home, but oftentimes had a hard time settling back in or adjusting to their Native culture. Many turned to alcohol to dampen the pain and the confusion that they felt, the shame. And I think there's still a lot of remnants of that today. But the fact that President Biden is making this apology is really quite extraordinary. As I said, nobody has done that. No president has done that before. And I do appreciate the fact that as his tenure as our national leader, that he is making this effort to recognize the horror of what ensued. And, you know, it's important to know that even though it doesn't always feel like our federal government or our state government are doing things to address these issues, we know that Assistant Secretary or Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland, this was very near and dear to her, as having grandparents and great-grandfather who were taken from their homes and sent to boarding school. And she instituted an investigation or a study called The Road to Healing. And she traveled all over the United States along with her Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs, Brian Newland. They spent over a year listening to the stories of emotional, physical, and sexual abuse told by the survivors and the descendants. And she felt this very deeply and very personally. And it was perhaps through the work that she is doing that President Biden is making this formal apology. I think I read somewhere that by 1900, at least one in every five Native kid that was a school age was sent to the boarding schools. And as I mentioned with my great uncle, they often went thousands of miles from their families, stripped of their names, assigned a number. And of course, we've heard the horror stories of how immediately their long hair was cut. They were beaten for speaking their language or practicing any of their cultures. Many of them were operated by the Catholic Church or its affiliates. And I know that at one point there was a pretty intense investigation that found that at least, and we know there has to be more, you know, a little over 120 priests and sisters and brothers that were supposed to be there to take care of the kids were later accused of sexually abusing those kids under their care. And most of that, you know, occurred, unfortunately, very recently. Much of the documented abuse of more than 1,000 kids occurred in the 50s and 60s. And so this formal apology really needs to come with action, right? Because an apology without a an action to it just doesn't make sense. I wonder how the U.S. can make any kind of a step forward in acknowledging the profound injustices and the trauma inflicted upon our Indigenous people without making some kind of action to, I don't know that it can ever rectify it. But I certainly think that this apology should be brought about with meaningful actions, support for healing healing within our communities. Of course, we're working really hard here in Minnesota to ensure that there's the preservation of Indigenous language and cultures. And I think we're probably leading in the implementation of educational programs to promote awareness and educate people about this really awful, ugly, dark chapter in American history. And I know that there will be much work done at the federal government through the Administration for Children and Families. And I think that we will start to see some really positive changes.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is a special report from ABC News. Israel bombs Iran. I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Israeli military says that in response to months of continuous attacks from Iran and the militant groups it backs, Israel's carrying out precise strikes on military targets in Iran, it says. ABC's Martha Raddatz on what we know so far.
This could go on for several hours. They have said quite clearly they are making precision strikes against military targets. There are, of course, numerous military targets.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge in Tel Aviv.
Energy and oil sites, Iranian oil and energy sites, are not in amongst the targets. So, you know, what is looking like the case right now, according to all the sources we're hearing from, is that Israel has listened to that demand from the U.S. The U.S. clearly was pressing Israel not to go after Iran's nuclear and oil sites.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's longest-serving state senator says he'll cross party lines to vote for Kamala Harris. Rob Coles, who's represented Green Bay for more than four decades, told our Mark Becker the choice was clear.
Trump has to be defeated, and we have to protect the Constitution. The country will go on, even with some liberal things that Harris might do.
You can hear the whole interview on the Civic Media podcast, Rational Revolution. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Ron Johnson talked with Earl Ingram about respecting the election results.
Well, I sure hope so. You know, unfortunately, you know, here in the state of Wisconsin, we have a governor who vetoed the types of bills that would restore confidence in our election system.
There have been no proven claims of voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It seems like it's taken forever, but there might be a Speed 3. See what I did there? In a recent chat with The Hollywood Reporter, 20th Century Studios' Steve Asbell gave the movie-going public hope when it comes to more sequels destined for the big screen in the near future. Asbell says he is open to Speed 3 if it's a great idea, but that the studio will definitely pursue another Alien and says there will be a new Predator film in theaters in 2025 as well. Asbell also added there would be most likely another Alien versus Predator. Thanks, but not really necessary, Steve. Looking for something new to watch as the Halloween season winds down? Check out Bad Monkey on Apple TV. It took me a while to warm up to it, but it is a good show and keeps you guessing. Vince Vaughn basically plays himself, but this time he's named Andrew Yancey, a disgraced detective in Miami trying to solve a case in which a severed arm is found with the middle finger of the hand extended. A funny gimmick, but the story unfolds nicely and the characters are interesting. Give it a watch. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight, lows low 30s. Sunshine for the weekend, highs in the upper 50s on Saturday. For Sunday, low 60s. Low 70s and breezy Monday. Staying in the 70s Tuesday, a chance of showers Tuesday night into Wednesday of next week. It's 46 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Ian Teal from the Waiwega Film Festival. And Deirdre and Stephen Starry drop by the studio to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Brown County Historical Society.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis. And here's Wendy with the new Sacred Animals.
Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. I'm not going to do my full introduction right now because I introduce myself in the next segment, which you will hear after this one. Right now, it's starting to get cold, finally, right? After this, what's happening with global warming, I don't know. But anyway, it's finally starting to get cool. And I could see a lot more wildlife, like, you know, really like, okay, it's getting cold, guys, and the squirrels are going crazy, and the birds, everybody's gathering food for the winter. Even little Chippy is out there. We have the rabbits and the possum. But foods that will help your wildlife friends during the cold weather. Okay, so here, you could put out uncooked oats. Cereal is on the list. I don't know. I think that's a little general. I mean, you're not going to be throwing out Lucky Charms or Count Chocula. You know, you're not going to throw that out for the wildlife, right? I don't know. Cooked rice, ideally brown, soaked dog kibble, wet dog food or cat food, fresh coconut in a shell. I guess that's if you live in Hawaii. I don't know. Baked potatoes, suet blocks, and the bird cage. I just started doing that last year. They really like that. Raw peanuts, walnuts, and other kind of nuts, raw sunflower seeds, wild bird seed. Bread is better than nothing at all, but it is very low in nutritional value, but it will at least fill them up and they won't, you know, starve to death. So I had a few questions. The next time I come on and I'm live with Robert and Haley, I have questions, like questions that they could answer. But right now, excuse me, let's talk about some memes that I found. And they're really cute. Some of them are funny. Here's two dogs. They're two real dogs in a picture. And they have a sign in front of them. And the sign says, stop putting doorbells in commercials. I wish that they would stop doing it in commercials. And TV shows. Anytime there's a knock at the door or a doorbell, not so much a doorbell because she doesn't even know that sound, but knocking. The knocking gets her every time. So, yeah. Anyway, so here's a meme, and these are cartoons, of course, and it's two dogs, and they're on a stage. They're sitting in sofas, and it's an interview with an audience, and they have microphones and everything. And the one dog is saying to the other dog, the interviewer is saying, our guest is here to discuss his heartbreaking memoir about his human being gone for 20 minutes. And the book is called An Eternity, a Memoir. I know, it's sad, right? Dogs don't like to be left alone. They really are stuck to us. Let me see what this is. I have a couple of other things. Here's a story. I think you could just look it up. I don't want to read the whole thing, or maybe I should. It's really kind of darling. Okay, I'm going to read this. This is from Labrador Forums, and this was on Facebook. And it says, walk with me. Don't just walk me. And there's a picture of a woman and her dog walking in the park. So let me just take a sip of water. I'm going to read this to you. Okay, from Labrador Forums. Okay, walk with me. Don't just walk me. Slow down and see the world as I do. I know you've got things to do, places to be, but out here, with the ground beneath our feet and the sky above us, there's a whole world worth noticing. The autumn chill is in the air today, crisp and full of new smells. It's different from yesterday and different from the day before. Every day is new. The leaves crunch under my paws, and I stop to breathe in the rich, earthy scent of them. You too, it might just be a pile of leaves. To you, it might just be a pile of leaves, but to me, it's a story, one I can't help but dive into nose first. There's a squirrel somewhere nearby. I could sense it, darting up a tree, its tiny heart beating fast. And the wind carries whispers of things far away, a family cooking dinner, a trace of a cat that passed by early this morning, and the faint perfume of flowers holding on to their last bit of summer. It's all here, whirling around us, if you just take time to notice. You tug on the leash, eager to move on, and I can tell you're thinking about something far away from here. But when we walk, truly walk, you and I can be in this moment together. Feel the cool air brush against your skin. Let it wake you up. Notice how the sun filters through the branches, casting shadows and dance on the pavement. Hear the crunch of the leaves beneath our step, like a secret rhythm just for us. To you, it might be just another walk, a daily routine to check off the list. But for me, every step is an adventure. Each scent is a clue, each sound a piece of a puzzle. When you walk with me, really walk with me, you'll see it too. The world is bigger than what we're rushing towards. It's right here, in the small moments, in the quiet spaces between your thoughts. So slow down, breathe. Let the chill fill your lungs and the colors fill your eyes. Walk with me. Don't just walk me. See the world as I do, if only for a little while. It's all waiting for you, just beneath the surface. And that's by Natalie P. P like Peter. She didn't say. And there's a picture. It says the picture is created by AI. A woman walking through the park in the sunlight with her dog. It's really kind of beautiful. Anyway, I love that story. Here is a meme of a dog walking his human, and the dog is talking to another dog, and it says, "He's great around dogs, but unpredictable and snappy around other people." Yeah, I always say that, right? That I'm... There was a sign, you know, if a dog is not friendly or vicious, the dog will have a sign on it saying not friendly. And people are putting that on Facebook. They're putting the sign on them saying not friendly. Okay, here's a lady, and she's feeding her dog, and the lady says, "Oh, you don't like your kiblet? I'll go get you something else." And then the dog is thinking, her training is coming along nicely. Yeah, I know that. Here's a reminder. I just want to throw this out. I have talked about this before. This is 7 facts about animal shelters. So 7 million dogs and cats are euthanized every year because shelters are too full. 7 million dogs and cats. Homeless animals outnumber humans 5 to 1. 90% of pets coming into the shelters are not spay or neutered. Most strays are not kept indoors or provided with ID tags. More than 25% of dogs are purebred dogs. A lot of people want to go, get these, new designer dogs, which are really mutts, these labradoodles and... Or they want a specific breed. I know people who want a pug. I'm like, oh, please just rescue one. But 25% of those dogs at the shelter are purebreds. Sorry, I have to take a sip of water. Only 1 out of 10 dogs born will ever find a forever home. That is astonishing to me. And I'll let you know that in the next segment. I had to stop to take a sip. Okay. Again, Only one out of 10 dogs born will ever find a forever home. Forever home. That means they go to another house and they stay in that one house until the day they die. You know, a lot of people will go to get a dog from a breeder or go to a shelter and they bring the dog home and they expect things from the dog, right? They expect the dog to be able to sit and be potty trained and not chew on shoes and stuff, but that's not how it is. You have to, you know, train the dog to do that. So then the people get the dogs, the dog's not doing what they think the dog should do, and the dog ends up in a shelter, right? So then it goes to a different home. So that's what it means by only one out of 10 dogs will ever find a forever home. Adopting from a shelter will save a life. We all know that. And it actually saves two lives. So you're adopting that dog out of the shelter and you're making room in the shelter for the next dog to come in. So adopting from a shelter will save a life. It actually will save two lives. So I love that. Okay, let this... Oh, yeah, I already said that. Okay. Oh, here it is. This is a meme. I'll read it to you. This is what I was trying to explain earlier when I made a fool of myself. But I have started yelling, not friendly to people, when someone tries to approach me. I learned it from the dog people. So that's what I was trying to get across. Sorry about that. Here's a meme with a dog and his human, and they're gazing into each other's eyes, and it's really a cute picture. And it says, the person is saying this to his dog. I talk to my pets like they are human. I say sorry if I accidentally step on them. I say excuse me if I need to get past. I say hello, goodbye, good morning, and good night. I do as well. Sometimes I'll be talking to Wanda and Robert will yell, Wendy, what did you just say? Wendy, what did you just say? And I'll be like, oh, I'm talking to Wanda. Yeah. So, okay. I think I mentioned that once before on the show. I always say, excuse me to Wanda. Or I said to him, this is funny. I said to Wanda the other day, do you want to eat? And Robert goes, yeah, I'm starving. And I said, oh, sorry, I'm talking to Wanda. So, but I was like, what do you want to get for dinner? Anyway, have a great weekend, guys, and enjoy the last beautiful leaves on the trees. Okay, back to you.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this break with more Wendy. Stay with us.
This November, we have a clear choice for who's truly fighting for our Indigenous communities in Minnesota. Democrats created the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force, made college tuition free for Native scholars, and legally affirmed our Native sovereignty. By signing co-stewardship agreements to manage federal lands, we return the lands of the Upper Sioux State Park to the Upper Sioux Tribe, and over 11,000 acres back to the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwa. This November, vote for the party that stands with our community. Vote Democrat.
Paid for by the Minnesota Democrat Farmer Labor Party.
For everything you need to know about voting in Minnesota, visit the Secretary of State's website at mnvotes.org. Find out where to vote, check registration status, and view sample ballots. Again, for all your voting information, go to mnvotes.org.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
We're back now with Wendy Pilot.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. I have just a lot of things to go through today, which I'm happy to do. I just mentioned this on the last show or the show before that, but Halloween is right upon us, and I see a lot of people who have those fake sticky spider web decorations across the, the hedges in the front of the house. But the problem with these is that it can kill birds. Birds get stuck in it. Their little claws get stuck. Some of these are even strong enough to snare an owl or even a larger bird, even hummingbirds. And these are deadly to monarch butterflies and even bees. And how about even a real spider? A real spider could get stuck in this too, which is pretty bad and kind of ironic, right? Let's see what else I have here. I mentioned again, I'm just going to do it really quickly. California just became the first state to restrict the use of rat poisons. They don't want anyone to use any rat poison because it's killing the birds of prey. It's killing their mountain lions. So way to go, California, for doing that. Here's a story from David Attenborough, and he's a big animal lover. And he wrote that in Argentina, there's a restaurant called Restobar Dickens with the sign saying, "We ask all of our customers with all of our hearts not to be upset by the number of stray dogs that may be in the restaurant. We are a pet-friendly place, and we give water, food, and lots of love to these sweet angels. I'm sorry if it bothers you, but they're not doing anything wrong. They're just looking for food or shelter. Thank you very much." And that's from the restaurant in Argentina. I think it's lovely. I really do. I mean, here in the United States, we just have so many health codes and laws and things like that, that, I mean, really, they do protect us, because I'm sure a lot of the stray dogs that go into that restaurant do have, fleas, or they could have some illness or something that they could pass on to not only the patrons in the restaurant, but to other dogs that might be there. But I think it's really kind of sweet. Anyway, we have some updates here from Hurricane Helene. And I've talked about this rescue organization here in Minnesota, up in north in Princeton. It's called Rough Start Rescue. And it was actually founded by a good friend of Robert's daughters, my stepdaughters. Her first name is Azure. I think her last name is Davis, Azure Davis, and she runs a Rough Start Rescue. But anyway, this is what she wrote on her Facebook page: "Introducing the 24 Hurricane Helene survivors who arrived at Rough Start Rescue yesterday. There's a whole bunch, all kinds of dogs. You name the breed, it's probably in there. Yeah, so 24 of them. These brave animals are settling into their foster homes and will update their profiles as their foster families get to know them better. You can be a hurricane hero too. We anticipate another hurricane relief transport in the coming weeks and need more fosters, volunteers, and donors to support their care.
Thank you for the continued support. I think that's great. She does such great work. And just imagine, those dogs are traveling all the way down from Florida up to Minnesota. That's amazing. Sorry, I had to take a sip of water. Okay, what do we have next? This is from a radio station, KJAE 93.5. I think they're in Georgia. But anyway, here's the story that they had on the radio. An 11-year-old boy in North Carolina, oh, so it's North Carolina, named Jamie Parker got buried in the rubble when a mudslide hit his grandparents' house during Hurricane Helene. But he's okay after his family's dog found him. The dog's name is Tucker. He stood where Jamie was and wouldn't budge until the firefighters got there and used chainsaws to get him out. Jamie and his sister used their allowance 3 years ago to save Tucker when he was about to be put on down at the shelter. So it's almost like he wanted to return the favor. It's really cute. You could look it up, the story of Jamie Parker and the dog Tucker. There's a picture of the two kids and the dog, and it's really a sweet, very sweet story, right? You never know. You know, these dogs are so loyal, and they're just so intuitive. It's really amazing. I was just talking about this last week. So I watch our grandchildren, their babies. I watch them on Wednesdays and Thursdays. They're just over 11 weeks old. Twins, a boy and a girl. I just love them to death. But anyway, our dog, our old rescue dog, Wanda, she's 14 years old. She's a Shih Tzu. I had no idea how she was going to react to them, right? I was a little bit nervous, to be honest. She's a nervous dog and a little bit yippy, but it's never, we've had her 7 years. She's never, you know, bit anybody or nipped anybody or anything like that. But, you know, you never know, and you have to be really careful. Even the most well-trained and calm dog, I feel, might have a potential to do it. So, but anyway, Wanda really loves these babies. When they come over, she goes over and sniffs them, goes and sniffs both of them. And if they're sleeping, they have a little nursery. If they're sleeping in the nursery and she hears one of them cry, she'll go in there and come out to the kitchen and, like, you know, try to get me to go in there. She's very intuitive about that. So I appreciate you, Wanda. You're being a very good girl. The other thing that I just heard that really breaks my heart is that dogs, the ones who are all gray, what that is people who kiss them all over their faces all those years, and it caused their face to turn gray. I thought it was really cute. Here's another thing, and this is not just because of the hurricane, but any really bad storm. So Eden Lynn, that's her name on Facebook, she posted a reminder for everyone, especially after storms and a hurricane, baby squirrels chasing you and grabbing onto your pants aren't rabid. They're desperate. They've lost their mother and have been without care for days. Unlike most other animals, young squirrels will seek out humans when they're hungry, thirsty, and in need for help. Many have also been injured by falling out of the trees. So just please offer them some help. I know that Robert and I, we've had many squirrels fall out of our tree, and I've brought them over to the Roseville animal, it's a wildlife rescue, and they take in all kinds of animals there. But anyway, good girl, Wanda, and thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Wendy. Great job. Hey, we just want to say thank you so much for tuning in to Native Roots Radio on your Friday. We hope everyone has a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. We need to resist, divest, join a group, or run for office and vote. Get out there and early vote. We also need to free Leonard Peltier. now.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we start our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour with Tryggvi Olson of the Lincoln Project and Reed Galen of the Union. Get on the road with us next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is Gordy with John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX. When you text into our show or any WMDX program, know that our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial. Package with less. Visit rocketindustrial.com and we'll be watching out for your text.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.